Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Micah Sandy, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, colors and brushstrokes, how Evanston's latest mural came to be. Sports journalism isn't so common on campus. WNUR speaks to alum on the field. And summer's around the corner, and students' LinkedIn announcements are still coming. What's the campus verdict on LinkedIn? Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. On Saturday, Northwestern's Rotaract Club unveiled a new mural in Bookman's Alley, created by renowned Chicago artist Juan A. Cano. The mural honors the club's values of service. Rosemary M. Bao has the story.
In the heart of downtown Evanston, just off Sherman Avenue, Bookman's Alley has long held a certain mystic. Once home to a beloved used bookstore, the alley is now the site of something new. The Northwestern Rotary Club has commissioned a vibrant community mural, a project that brings art, history, and service together in one colorful space. Painted by renowned Chicago street artist Juan A. Cano, the mural was officially unveiled on Saturday during a celebration attended by Evanston residents and Northwestern students. Bright blues, radiant yellows, and the wings of a butterfly sweep across the wall.
I was more concerned about here was the symbolism, the butterflies, the lighthouse, the colors, the rotary blue and the rotary gold. This is what I was most concerned with, just to convey the message of hope, joy, and what was important to the town, to the local residents, and the Rotary Club.
That was the artist Juan A. Cano. Rotaract is a student-led service organization affiliated with Rotary International. Its world headquarters are located right here in Evanston. For Cano, this mural is more than just public art. It's a tribute. While his signature style is a shattered glass, Cano wanted to create something special for Evanston.
You want to give something that belongs to the town for the local residents to come and enjoy, and they can relate to.
Stephen Rogan, property owner of the Bookman's Alley development where the mural stands, says the work represents much more than just a wall of paint.
I think that the unique thing about it is that it ties Rotary International, who has their world headquarters in Evanston, the university, which is a major component of the community, and it ties the arts and music, and it just brings a lot of those components of the community together.
The idea for the mural came from Northwestern senior and founder of Rotaract, Amy Resnick. What began as a vision 2 years ago has now become her lasting mark on Evanston.
I kind of was thinking about what I wanted to have my lasting mark on Evanston be after I graduated, and I really wanted to do a community mural. So I brought it to the Vester Rotaract exec, and they gave me the okay to keep going ahead and start fundraising, which I was really excited about. And so from there, I reached out to downtown Evanston, and Andy Vick from downtown Evanston recommended I talk to Stephen, who's the property manager of this new Bookman's Alley development. And then someone from my Rotary Club recommended that we contract with Juan A. Cano, who's the artist. When I started talking to him, I just really loved his vision. He's obviously very nice. You got the chance to speak with him. And so we were able to come together and have this mural project happen.
The mural was also designed with one of Rotaract's core missions. According to Weinberg sophomore Angelo Karadimas, the purpose of the mural is clear.
And honestly, like, it has really cool significance. Basically, it's addressing literacy. That's what it says on the mural. It says Evanston Literacy. And the literacy component actually connects to Rotaract's focus on literacy. So it's really cool symbolism going on. The colors are also, like, in theme with, like, our club. So it's a really beautiful sight.
Angela also says the mural represents something even bigger. He explains what truly happens when a community stands together.
Honestly, I think the main message of this whole event is just that, like, community is a very powerful thing, and, you know, just coming together to celebrate something like a mural can really bring people together, and I think that's, like, an important message for people that, you know, the community is strong, and it's just going to continue growing closer with events like this.
that spirit of service and unity isn't limited to Evanston. Rotaract continues to collaborate with global partners, including the Heron Interact in Ethiopia.
So Heron, the name comes from a Agus word that's like an ancient Ethiopian language that stands for the chosen ones. And we believe that everybody's chosen to the service. Everybody's chosen to be there for others and help the community and give back. And I think that Heron Interact does a great job at modeling that. I've been part of that club, so I can testify to how passionate they are to just giving back to the community and serving when they can.
That was Abigail Meskalu, a Weinberg first-year student and Rotaract member. This event not only marks the unveiling of a new mural, but also launched what Rotaract hopes to be the beginning of many more collaborative and creative service projects. Alongside the mural opening, the celebration featured live music performances by Northwestern students, a reminder that service and art can go hand in hand. From WNUR News, I'm Rosemary Mbao.
Recognize that sound?
You have 2 new invitations. You appeared in 9 searches. Add Maria, Northwestern posted. 7 people noticed you since you set a journalism alert.
What about those notifications? Chances are, whether you're a networking enthusiast or even just relatively invested in social media, you do.
Founded in 2002, LinkedIn was created to, quote, connect professionals around the world to make them more productive and successful, unquote.
But is that actually how it's understood by users? To find out, we asked some Northwestern students and staff their opinions.
Middle sophomore Sylvie Slotkin is a self-proclaimed LinkedIn enthusiast.
I really love LinkedIn. I got LinkedIn literally the day I turned 16. I have 500 plus connections, and it is one of my favorite things to flex. I think it's so fun. I love seeing like what everyone's doing and posting about what I'm doing. I definitely like use it kind of as a social media. Like I doom scroll on LinkedIn for sure.
But as for whether LinkedIn has helped her professional connections, Slotkin wasn't so sure.
I don't think I've actually ever used it to, like, find a job. I'm trying to think if, like, I've made any, like, actual real-life connections.
Weinberg sophomore Maddie Huang said the same thing, that LinkedIn is more of a social media platform for her.
I personally don't use LinkedIn as, like, a way to make connections. I kind of use it as a way to just see classmates, see what everyone's doing.
Considering that, Huang said there are clear downsides to the platform.
Overall, it is pretty toxic, especially because people are always trying to like use it more as like a social media instead of a business kind of academic thing that LinkedIn's like meant for. It definitely makes you feel and have a little bit of imposter syndrome if everyone that's like on LinkedIn is doing all these amazing things and you kind of just aren't.
Joshua Sukoff, a junior studying journalism, had yet another unique perspective about what LinkedIn is and what its benefits are.
I don't view it as social media. I just kind of view it as an interactive resume where people can kind of connect with people. And it's just kind of a networking tool.
As a photographer, Sukoff uploads photos to his website that fit the LinkedIn banner dimensions to help students enhance the optics of their profiles.
I noticed everyone uses the same photo from Google. And so I'm like, oh, I have some great photos too. Why not just make some little banners and just kind of put them on my website? And then if people find them, they find them. I find that it's valuable for people who are trying to make a great impression.
While acknowledging the platform is a useful tool to make a good impression on potential employers, Northwestern Career Advancement Director Tracy Thomas warned about using LinkedIn as a social media.
Just like social media, I think you have to put it into context that you're looking at some person in this very specific period of time.
Northwestern Library's web and social media coordinator, Corey Slowick, theorized about why the platform has started to feel more like social media and less like a career tool.
LinkedIn has become the like de facto text-based social media for a lot of people who've kind of migrated from Twitter, which means that there's now like your professional and your personal life are even more intertwined, which I guess is a trend across all social media, and there's not really a break between professional and personal anymore.
However, Slowick acknowledged that the platform's joint social and professional nature has a purpose.
I guess it's useful for maintaining networks. People that I wouldn't necessarily be in really direct contact with, people I went to college with. It's good to keep those connections alive.
Moreover, she had an idea of how LinkedIn is helpful to college students specifically.
It seems like you're almost like practicing for when you'll need it later to maintain those networks, especially as they grow.
In her role at NCA, Thomas regularly encounters students concerned about establishing themselves in the professional world. When it comes to using LinkedIn to accomplish this, Thomas considers the platform to be
a double-edged sword. A lot of students will come in feeling anxious about the internship search because they saw someone on LinkedIn who got an internship or they got a job.
But it's still important, right? Because isn't LinkedIn an industry standard?
Yes, but for some industries, not so much. It really depends on the industry that you're interested in.
So what is the consensus?
I think it's important for students to continue to enhance their network, particularly their professional network. I think LinkedIn is one way to do that. The really key piece here is to connect with professionals. There are many, many different ways to connect with professionals. So if it's not through LinkedIn, it can be through attending employer events. It can be through Our Northwestern. It can be through Ask a Wildcat, through the Waldron program. It could be through the Northwestern Mentorship Program. There are so many ways to connect, and I think students have to do what feels most comfortable for them.
For WNUR News, I'm Melody Hsu.
And I'm Georgia Kerrigan.
Sports journalism is one of the least known professions at Northwestern. Nearly 10 graduates per year from the middle school go into the field for their careers. Brandon Priceman has the story.
Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism tends to produce graduates that go into illustrious jobs. The class of 2022 alone has seen members go on to work at The Atlantic, CBS, The Associated Press, and The Washington Post. The majority of Medill alumni will go into either news reporting or some form of public relations and communications. However, according to the most recent data from Medill, 3% of the class of 2022 is working in sports journalism. While that's not exactly a massive number, it's not zero either. The Medill School typically churns out about 5 to 10 graduates a year who stick to the sports beat post-graduation, as evidenced by many recent graduating classes. These are some of their stories. Daniel Ollinger is one example of an alum from the class of 2023 who works in sports journalism. Ollinger covers the Philadelphia 76ers for the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. Ollinger blogs and podcasts for the site, which is very much a familiar feeling for him. While at Northwestern, he became the editor-in-chief of the sports blog Inside NU, which exclusively covers any and all Northwestern sports. Ollinger says working for the site helped him figure out how to best use his sports writing talents.
You get out to what you put into it. So, like, just being willing, they had a great women's basketball team my freshman year. I wrote about them a ton. I broke down all their zone. I did a ton of film runs on them. I was willing to write it. Through that, I got promoted to, like, managing editor by the people running it at the time, just because they saw that I was writing good stuff and clearly invested in it. And then the next year through, I got promoted to editor-in-chief after my sophomore year because, again, I was writing stuff all the time, doing film rooms, contacting people to set up good stories. But that was a good thing. It did feel just like whoever does some of the most work or the best work kind of gets rewarded for it. I kind of like just that pretty basic cause and effect. So I just kind of kept working at it, and yeah, it wasn't anything special. It was just I kind of correctly identified where my talents best fit at Northwestern and kind of just let it go from there.
Patrick Andrus was also a member of the class of 2023, but ended up graduating with the class of 2022. Much like Ollinger, Andrus credits his time at campus publications with helping make him who he is today. For Andrus specifically, he basically went from illustrious publication straight to illustrious publication. During his undergraduate career, he wrote for the Daily Northwestern, and after a brief stint at the Toledo Blade newspaper, now works for Sports Illustrated. While he did learn a lot about the industry and writing at the Daily, the lessons he treasures most are ones that came outside the field of journalism proper.
I almost think I learned more of how to be a human being than I did a journalist with the Daily. And I learned a lot about being a journalist at the Daily, covering football and covering men's basketball and various other sports. And I think that that's the case for a lot of different publications. And I think we're blessed in that regard to have all these different publications, from the Daily, Inside NU, MBN, WNUR, more specialized publications that are escaping me at the moment. But I think yeah, that's definitely one of the draws in Northwestern for me. And in my time with the Daily, it was special. I'll always treasure it.
Both Andrus and Olinger also talked about the networks they were able to form while at Northwestern. They both believe that Northwestern was the right choice for them because Medill was able to provide something they've needed in their professional careers.
Well, I knew I was interested in eventually getting the Sports Illustrated, and I knew people that if I needed someone to vouch for me within Sports Illustrated, there were people there I knew, people I knew from Northwestern, and I think that has remained the case, is that I feel like I have connections in a lot of different places inside and outside the journalism industry. I think it has provided a sense of security in that regard, just knowing that, I think, again, it goes back to kind of the shared experience of Medill, the shared experience of looking for jobs in journalism, which can be scarce, I think.
While the people were a key part of Olinger's college experience, Medill's biggest aid to him was its platform. As he explains, being able to write at a well-known school under a well-known program enabled him to more easily find professional opportunities.
Northwestern does, like, because it's a good school with a good reputation, has these resources, you're being given a platform. No one really knows anyone's internal talent level, knowledge, what they're capable of. What's different, the differences we can see is that certain platforms are bigger than others. Northwestern did offer that to me, where it's a platform, like, for me to, like, if I had gone to a small school, like, you know, there were small local colleges near me, I could have done other stuff. Maybe I would have still got it, ended up going into sports writing, and maybe I still would have been just as good as I am now. But I doubt people would have recognized it as much. So I was just talking about, like, talking at a local B3 school they heard of, or, you know, just not doing as much. Like, it's just the fact of the matter that those things don't get as noticed as much.
Those networks and connections can even be created in the graduate school. J.P. Acosta attended Florida Atlantic University for undergrad, but came to Medill for graduate school thanks to the encouragement of his professors. Since completing the master's program, he's gone to work for sports blog SB Nation, for which he publishes lots of analytical football content. He already boasted professional experience and lots of college publication work, but Medill helped bring his journalistic acumen to another level.
When I got to Northwestern, I got to Medill, I think the skill that I developed was confidence in what I do. I think because of what I do now, I do a lot of analytical film descriptions, content for football. I realized at Medill, one of the things I was able to do was effectively communicate those things that are happening on the field to people, to students who, or some of my friends, honestly, who didn't really see the game the way I did. So I think going to Medill, one of the skills that I learned is just the confidence in knowing this might not be for everybody, but I know that I'm really good at this and I can continue to work in this lane.
Acosta also acknowledged the level of access to the journalism world Medill gave him was beyond anything else he had experienced in the undergraduate world.
I think the first thing that I would say is it gives you incredible access to the world of journalism. Not only the individual, like, here's the things that you're going to be honing and refining. Like I said, there's video, audio, print. You can do so many different things in the grad school in grad school, but I think it's more just the access to all the alumni networks, the people who are well connected in the industry. You're more than likely going to find someone who does the same thing that you do, and you can kind of connect with them and be able to talk with them. The professors have extremely high amounts of experience, and you're never going to feel alone walking through the world of journalism.
Indeed, that sense of community has remained with these sports journalists long after they marched back through the arch. All of them treasure their time at Northwestern and remember it very fondly, whether it was covering sports or just being around fellow students. Their time on campus holds some of the highlights of their lives thus far. For Andrus specifically, it's an experience he's done his best to keep alive.
And then I was able to move back to Evanston for 6 months last year. And then and now I'm based in Chicago, although I've been making this phone call from my family home, which is kind of funny. But I think that I always tell people I feel like between graduating early and then post-grad, I've kind of orbited Northwestern since graduating.
An orbit like that only makes sense. When you've been part of a community this tight-knit and talented, you never want to leave it. For WNUR News, I'm Brendan Prizman.
Final season is coming up. This is a reminder that you are more than just a score. Mariah Pettway shares a poem to center you back in.
Taking a deep breath today? Welcome to WNUR News' poetry segment, where you'll hear timely poem readings to help you relax, reflect, and reconnect. As we head into finals week and assignments start to pile up, I hope Smart Enough by Michael Michalis reminds you that life is more than grades. It's about the heart. They say ignorance is bliss. The opposite is true. Sometimes knowing far too much can mean sadness for you. They say great minds think alike. There's knowledge to pursue. Do I really have to have a very high IQ? What good is intelligence? I think it's overrated. Wisdom is more than IQ for the less educated. You seek an education, yearn to acquire knowledge, hopefully get a degree from some important college. I've tried the same thing before, walked the scholastic maze. I was never satisfied unless I had straight A's. Now I'm glad I'm smart enough to know I'm not too smart. All the knowledge of this world can't compare to the heart. There's not much love in knowledge. Be smart enough to see. Sometimes being smart enough is good enough for me.
For WNUR News, I'm Mariah Pettway.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Lots of clouds today after a rainy morning. The rest of the week, a bit similar. Tomorrow, you can expect clouds throughout the day, a thundershower around afternoon, but you'll have some nice breeze in the morning. Friday, you'll have both rain and thunder, so be sure to pack your umbrella. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Pope Leo will be having a mass at Chicago's Guaranteed Rate Field next month. He won't be coming in person, but he will be debuting a new broadcast video message for this event. The GOP budget package is headed to the Senate soon. New parts of what President Trump calls his big, beautiful bill were revealed after it passed overnight, including a savings account named after him. And if you're looking to experience history, it opens this Saturday. Six Flags' newest dive coaster, Wrath of Rakshasa, has the world's steepest drop. It's home Six Flags Great America, less than an hour away from Evanston. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR news stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Gabe Shumway, and our reporters are Rosemary M. Bao, Brendan Priceman, Georgia Kerrigan, Melody Hsu, and Mariah Pedway. I'm Micah Sandy. Catch our next newscast Friday, May 30. Now, back to scheduled programming.